The AutJet Business Show is your gateway to expert business advice and real-world success stories. Each week, a different leader in the business world will share their tips, insights, and lessons, offering you practical advice to navigate your entrepreneurial journey. Whether you have a business idea or are just starting out or looking to elevate your existing business, the AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Ensure you get these transformative conversations live on Thursdays at 6 p.m. or find the podcast at highfm.com. Let's build your business empire together.
Welcome, welcome. It's the AutJet Business Show. I'm David Zeidel, and tonight we're with Alon Reyes. Good evening, Alon.
How's it, Dave?
And Alon is the CEO of Reyes Corp, a business incubator. And I'm going to introduce Alon formally just now. But before we get to that, I always start with a little bit of a business story. And today, if I said to you, my business story says, did you know? Would you know what I'm talking about? And I'm talking about Chappies bubblegum. And how is that for something that's amazing? So you sometimes buy the bubblegum because you want to know the did you know, not for the bubblegum. But you're getting something extra if you do buy bubblegum. So if you're thinking of getting bubblegum, you'd go buy the Chappies in those days. And I remember that they used to have, I think, 2 for 1 cent in one stage. It's right next to the till, and instead of change, they used to give you your change in Chappies. And it's about the business lesson behind that is trying to do something different, trying to add to bubblegum. And how do you do that? So it actually was introduced in the late 1940s, a South African company who did that. They had 6,000 different did you know facts. And then it was sold to Cadbury's in 1980, and they've continued with it ever since. So what do we learn from that? Well, there's always something new under the sun, but did you know that? And that could be one of the new facts.
Can I tell you a story about that?
I'd love to hear it.
If you come into our boardroom, there's a bowl in every one of our boardrooms which is filled with Chappies papers. But it's not Chappies papers, it just looks like Chappies papers with a did you know, and it's got a business fact in there. And so it's a Reyes Corp logo on there, but it's got the coloring of Chappies, and everyone mistakes it for Chappies because we go to the effort of folding it into that like square. And one day I had a meeting with a guy in his 30s, and he looks at this and he stands up, he says, I'm going to sue you. So I get a bit of a shock, and he says, I'm the grandson, and this is copyright infringement. And then he stares me down, and he goes, just kidding.
Wow. That's a hell of a story, but also I find it astounding that I actually chose that story to start with. I mean, it links to you completely by coincidence. So that's amazing. So with us tonight is Alon Reyes, CEO of Reyes Corp, a business incubator. And Alon is one of those people who doesn't just talk entrepreneurship. He literally lives and breathes it, and he's involved in it in so many different angles. He originates from Durban, and he started his journey actually studying a BSc in farming. And he wanted to cultivate things, but I think he's now farming businesses or cultivating businesses. From his early days, he was selling clothes and shoes, and then he helped a vehicle security company grow tenfold. And he's mastered the art of building successful businesses from the ground up. He's the founder and CEO of Reyes Corp. It's a pioneering business incubation company. It currently supports over 500 businesses. And I think when he first started, his aim was 20, and now it's 500 different businesses. He's a best-selling author of 3 entrepreneurial books. And he's got a familiar voice and face in the South African entrepreneurial space because he's no stranger to the radio, no stranger to TV. He hosted the country's first national radio show on entrepreneurship for quite a few years. And then he presented a reality TV show on the Big Small Business Show on DSTV, and it's now in its 15th season. And for me, it's an honor to be interviewing Alon, because I've been on his show a couple of times. So it's a little bit of role reversal. And he's been recognized globally. He was named Young Global Leader by the World Economic Forum in 2008. He won Entrepreneur of the Year in the Empowerment Awards in 2013. And he's even been a guest lecturer at Oxford University. He's also an investor in more than 20 different businesses around the world. In 2015, he received an invitation from the White House to speak at the Global Entrepreneurial Summit that was hosted by then President Barack Obama in Kenya. So today, Alon is here to share his wisdom, his passion, and his practical tips for helping entrepreneurs take their business to the next level. So Alon, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dave.
And I'm going to dive straight in. Maybe instead of building things up, let's start right at the end. With all this experience of 500 businesses and your own investment, specifically in 20 businesses, what have you learned that are kind of the key success factors for business? Are there some things that you just have to have? And what are some of those key failure factors? Are there some things that if you got them, you're almost guaranteed to fail? I'm pushing you into the deep end here. So,
thanks, Dave. I think before we respond to that, I think it's important to be very cognizant of the fact that there is no such thing as an entrepreneur. If you look at what they call the psychological typology of an entrepreneur, in other words, what characteristics make up a successful entrepreneur, there is no equal sign. They are extroverts, they're introverts, they're good at maths, they're bad at maths, they're tall, they're short, they come from poor backgrounds, wealthy backgrounds. So there's no such thing as an entrepreneur. And I'm always very reticent to produce a list that is in some person's mind a definitive list of that's, if I don't have that, therefore I'm not going to be a successful entrepreneur. So I have to prelude my answer with that, because I don't want people to feel that if I don't have this, then I'm not.
So my question, and that's I'm glad you said that. I think it's very valid to do that. The question is more of, as a person, whether I'm entrepreneurial or not, what are some of the things that I definitely must be doing, and what are some of the things that maybe I should avoid doing?
So when I build businesses, I look at the entrepreneur, you back the jockey, not the horse. That's quite cliched. But what's very important for me is, number one, is that they know what they want. And that's a very simple thing to say. But 9.9% out of 10, when I speak to entrepreneurs and then I try and unpack what they actually want, they don't know what they want. They've got a vague idea. I want to be wealthy, or I want to be independent, or I want to leave a legacy. These are big words. They're not specific about what they want in a certain timeline. So that's the first thing that when I work with entrepreneurs, in order to increase the probability of success, it's really about getting them to understand what they want. And sometimes that's the word, to understand what they want. They have to be thoughtful about that. And when you ask them, but why that, then, you know, you leave them in a dwell, and then they go back and then they come back with the answer. So very thoughtful about what you want.
So just before you go on to the next point, I'm struggling with that specific answer, that surely people are going into business and they know what they want?
No, they don't. And that's actually fact that most business entrepreneurs, when they go into business, go in with such a vague idea of what they want. They've got, I'm going to become a millionaire or a billionaire and with this thing. But they don't specify, in the next 5 years, I'm going to build a business that's got 100 people doing 100 million rand with 25 million rand net profit. We're going to be doing 3 or 4 products in this space. We're going to be unique because of A, B, and C, and to that level of specificity. And it's about getting down to that detail, because you, in order, if you been on my show, you'll see that I always end the show, if you think it, write it down and make it a reality. So it's about bringing that what you want into this world and then actually creating what you want. But if you don't know what you want, then what? How do you create it? Mm. You know, if they say, you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And many entrepreneurs are in that space where they haven't been specific about what they want. They use big terms like, I want to be wealthy or I want to be a billionaire. But tell me how, what, take me through the steps that you're going to need to get through. So, okay, so you're doing, 2 million rand a year now. Tell me how you're going to get to a billion rand in 5 years' time. And if there's no dotted line, then it's just, these are just words. Mm. So then it's about putting a cogent plan together and a strategy together on how you're actually going to get there. So you have to start with what you want. And that's not always, in fact, it's mostly not there. So always start there. Mm. What do you want? The next thing is about hard work. And I'm maybe a little old-fashioned around this, in my view, that, I'm currently working with 500 businesses, but I've had 17,000 businesses through Raise Corp over the last 25 years. And if I look at even my investment portfolio, the ones that succeed are the hard workers, the ones that work very hard. So there is definitely a correlation between hard work and success. People try and talk about life-work balance. For an entrepreneur, it's family and work. It's not all. The word "and" is important, that you include everything. My work has been my life. My family has been part of my work. It's all integrated. It's not this or that. Mm. It's this and that.
So how do you respond to somebody who says, work smart, not hard?
Work smart and hard.
And hard.
Yeah, to me, it's both. And today, it's competitive. You can't just be smart. I know a lot of smart people who are not successful. And I know a lot of people who are, work hard that aren't successful. I think it's both. So you need to work smart and hard.
And your definition of hard, what does it mean to work hard? But before you answer that, we've got the hard sell. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'd like you to answer that.
Sure.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Welcome back. I'm David Zeidel. You're listening to the AutJet Business Show, and together we're listening to Alon Reyes. He's the CEO of Reyes Corp, and it's a business incubator, and he's telling us around the different things that one should do to be successful or make the chances of being successful more. The first thing is know what you want. And I questioned Alon around, do people not know what they want? And it was more around being specific about what you want, how you're going to achieve it, and putting a timeline to it. And then just before the break, we were talking about working hard, and it's about working smart, but also working hard. Mm. And what does it really mean, Alon? And this question I was posed to you just before the break. When you say work hard, does it necessarily mean you've got to work 20 hours a day? Or how do you define working hard?
But maybe not 20 hours a day at the later stages, but certainly in the beginning, when you're setting up your business, when you're starting your business, any entrepreneur out there knows how much there is to do. Working with a 24-year-old entrepreneur right now, and he's saying, sure, there's so much to do and there's not no time in the day. And I said, you're 24, just get it done, And to me, it's very important that you get a work ethic and that you are don't have an 8-to-5 mentality. Work is there until it's done, and then tomorrow new work appears. There's always work to be done as an entrepreneur. And so, maybe this is a bad thing, I don't know. But certainly from my experience, personal experience, and from what I've seen from successful entrepreneurs, they work in the evenings, they work on weekends, they work during their holidays. They're mostly always on. Then they are able to switch off for a short period of time and completely switch off, decouple themselves from everything, get refreshed, and then come back. But those entrepreneurs that have got an 8-to-5 mentality as they start, from my experience, they're less likely to succeed. And maybe I'm just not smart enough, and so I compensate with working hard.
Great. So, and then the next step, what are the other things?
So the next step is to build your network. I think network is such a critical part of becoming a successful entrepreneur. You know, when I mentor young entrepreneurs, I would say to them, come with me to an event. And, you know, this is not so much now anymore. Now it's a different instruction, but I'd say go into that environment there and bring back 5 business cards and tell me what those people do. And they would have to go and engage people and create conversation and find out what they do, and they come back. So that is to train them to the fact that they need to be able to meet people, understand, ask questions, find out what they do. And your network, you know, there's a cliched saying as well, there's your network is your net worth. Your network is an incredibly important part of success. Not just to do business with in the sense of I can do a deal with you, Dave. It's also about reaching out and getting support from you, from your network. You know, if your network is both a support mechanism and a route to market, it's both of those things. And so to me, when I'm working with entrepreneurs, the ones that are able to build a network are the ones that I'm more likely to back.
Fantastic. And I'm not sure how many points you have on this.
Well, you asked me for 5.
So we got another 2. Fantastic.
The next thing is around perseverance. Also another cliche. And, you know, people feel, or entrepreneurs get the sense that everyone else out there seems to be doing better than them. I certainly felt that for many, many years. You know, as my friends who were very successful, I would arrive at their home for a dinner in my, you know, old clubbed out vehicle with central locking didn't work, and the shiny new Merc and BMW in the car park, and you walk into this brand new sparkling house and you feel less than, you know. And so it's very hard often on the journey to be around other success, and you start to doubt yourself. And it's very important as part of that perseverance to get to a place of self-belief that you believe you deserve to succeed and that you will succeed. And everyone has those you know, moments where they want to give up. In fact, one of the books you mentioned is called What to Do When You Want to Give Up. And it's around this ability to ask new questions every time you feel like there's no way out. It's about being able to ask yourself new questions and get to new answers. And for as long as you can ask yourself new questions and get new answers, you keep persevering. But the other important thing as well for me is that This concept of the antithesis of that is when you become successful quite early. I see too often with entrepreneurs, especially young entrepreneurs, that complacency kicks in, the ego kicks in, and all of a sudden the foot's off the pedal, and a level of arrogance kicks in, and you know the universe sends a message to you to say, wake up again. So what I do with the entrepreneurs that I mentor is I say to them, every time you're successful, double down, use that energy, that success, the energy that comes from feeling good about yourself, about closing that deal or delivering that thing or whatever the case may be, use that energy to then double down and then look for new business. And every time you get rejected, use that energy to double down. So that whether you're winning or you're losing, you're always doubling down. So that goes back to the work ethic, is that you need to use that as the trigger to then motivate yourself, to energize yourself forward, to fail forward and win forward as well.
So I want to just ask you a little bit about this perseverance. 2 questions. One, what do you exactly mean by asking new questions? And the other thing is, and I've asked this of other guests before, You know, you get to the stage where somebody says, well, you're doing something and it's not working. Stop hitting your head against the same wall, hoping for different results. That's the one thing. So how do you know when to actually say this is not working and when to do, as you say, persevere and get that breakthrough?
So I'll relay a personal story around that. So I'm a Durbanite. My first businesses were in Durban, and I was in a business that was failing very, very badly. We had run out of cash. The investors wouldn't invest anymore. We had literally had the creditors sitting in the reception waiting, you know, screaming and shouting, waiting for their money. It was a very scary time. And a family friend of mine called, and this is back to network, I don't know how he heard, and invited me for lunch. And I just remember always that I prayed that he would pay, because I didn't know if my credit card would work, because I'd maxed out my credit cards, etc. And then he asked me about the business, and I kept telling him how bad things were. And then he says, tell me more about the technology. So I told him about the technology. He said, this is amazing. Tell me more. And I told him about the technology that we were building. And he said, like, and this is absolutely fantastic. And I said, yeah, but, you know, we can't pay. And he goes, that's just cash flow issues. Tell me more about what this can do. And he kept, like, negating the fact that I thought I'd come to the end. And he kept, like, saying, that's just a cash flow issue. And he reframed me. So he says, oh, what you need is an investor. Another investor who sees this. I'll tell you what, I'm going to connect you for two or three people. You look for two or three people, and I will support you in putting a whole pitch together to get funding. And a week later, I was up in Joburg pitching it, and I got, and this is a long time ago, the business, which I thought was worth zero, was valued then at 10 million rand, and they put 3 million rand into the business, and like it saved the whole business. But the point of that is that I had seen one thing, he had seen another. And that was such a powerful lesson for me, is that very often it's just about your frame that you can't see. When you're in that environment, you can't see, because you keep looking at it in the same way. And a very easy way to get perspective is to get a mentor, to ask you different questions. So when you ask what you need to do, it's about the ability to ask different questions. If you can't ask those questions to yourself, then get somebody else to ask you different questions. And very often, and I do that with entrepreneurs, very often what results from that is a whole new vista of opportunity presents, because now you're seeing it from a different angle, and now you see the opportunity or the way out through that. And so asking questions is one of the most powerful ways to persevere, and the most powerful ways to solve problems is asking the right questions and being open to other people asking you hard questions that you need to answer honestly.
And how do you go about finding that mentor? How do people who are running little businesses go and find somebody who will act as a mentor?
Well, Orjet.
So Orjet is one. Yeah. You've got to be careful to find a mentor and not a tormentor.
Yeah, exactly. But a tormentor is good. I'm being serious now. A tormentor is somebody who torments you, asks you tough questions, which messes with how you're thinking, is good. For me, it is literally asking. So I have a mentor. I have seven mentors in different aspects of life. I've got my age-old mentor who backed me when I was 23, more than 30 odd years ago. Still my mentor today. And I bumped into him at an airport. Started speaking with him, had a conversation, and it just naturally became that way. I've got a mentor who has built a very scaled business and was very operational. So every time I've got operational issues, I go to him. I've got a mentor who I call my fun mentor. I'm quite a serious guy, and he's quite a fun guy. And every time I'm feeling a little dull, I call him up and say, like, tell me how to undullify myself. And we spent time. So I reach out, and that comes back to that network and the ability to reach out and be vulnerable to people. I think the most important lesson I learned from my mentor, let's call it my main mentor, is to be vulnerable, is to speak very sincerely about what you're not good at and what you're battling with, and not try and put everything that's great out there and put
And are these mentor positions, they're not paid positions. They're not like you're paying somebody to be your mentor. It's just somebody who says, they're like angels, they're business angels who are saying, I'm going to help you with this aspect of it. And
I think they come in all different flavors. I don't believe they should be paid. That's a consultant. Maybe they should, I don't know. But mentors generally have got no vested interest up front. Why that's important is because they will tell you the truth, and they'll speak to you openly. There are mentors that are regular, in other words, once a month, and there's mentors that are whenever, ad hoc. There's different formats. My mentorship style is ad hoc, and I mentor 6 people a year that are in sort of directly. And when one sort of falls out after years, or I do something with them, or whatever the case may be, there's a space for another. Right now, there's no space. If you're going to ask. My whole thing with them is that I'll say to them, okay, I want you to go read this, go do this. And if they come back after that first session with me and they haven't done that, it's a two-way street. You've got to do the work as well.
Mm. Great. So you're both a mentor and a mentee.
Yeah.
If you've just tuned in and you're wondering what we're talking about. So this is Alon Reyes. He's the CEO of Reyes Corp, and he runs a business incubator. And he's talking about some of the things that you should be successful, or the 5 things. And we've covered the 4 things. So Alon, what's the 5th thing? And when we finish with that, I do want to get to, I know you enjoy talking about strategy, and then I want to talk around strategy. But on this, what is that 5th point?
To me, that's around a level of humility. And this is a tough one, because there's a fine line between confidence and arrogance, and humility and subservience, you know. And to me, there is a place of humility where you understand how temporary things are. And I always say to entrepreneurs, when today, 25 years into Reyes Corp, I've built something. But what I said 25 years ago when I was unsuccessful is the same thing that I'm saying now. It's no different. Yet more people listen to me now because there's the label that I've built something, or I'm further along the path than I was 25 years ago. It's the same thing. But the converse is also true. People won't listen to somebody because they are not successful. So I say, well, maybe now I'm speaking here to David Sardell, and look at this, and I'm sharing my 5 points, and somehow it has some credence because, 500 businesses, blah, blah, blah. But what happens if I lose everything tomorrow? Does that mean what I've just said on your show has got no credence anymore? What does that mean? And so if you ask that question, you realize that there's a lot of spin attached to the context and not actually the content of what you're saying. So to me, coming back to the humility, is that you have to understand that today I'm the guy who's might be succeeding. Tomorrow I might lose everything. And then what? And so I'm very, very aware. I'm very conscious of that. And to me, I've watched entrepreneurs become super successful and then fall. And I've watched entrepreneurs have been unsuccessful for many years become successful. So, I don't think there's a place where you're just going to be there and it's just always going to be like that. Everything's temporary.
Yeah. And then, but what helps your chances of being successful is having the right strategy and putting a strategy into place. So for those of those listening to this, and even myself, I've used the word strategy a lot, but do I really understand what is meant by strategy? How would you define it, what it is, and then how would you define it for a business on how to do a good strategy for a business?
So let's start with the context once again. Is the context is that if you read all the academia around strategy, only around 30% of large businesses do strategy, and around 70%, 30% of those actually achieve that strategy. So that so that's 9% of large businesses actually achieve a strategic imperative within, and once again, 70% accuracy. In other words, they were going for 100 million, or they were going for, you know, 10 countries, and they landed up with 7.
I'm astounded with that, because I've come across so many people who are strategic consultants and telling people, and the buzzword is strategy, and you're saying like it's under 10%.
So if you want to sound clever, just call yourself a strategic whatever. If you're in marketing, I do strategic marketing. If you, you know, if you're in sales, I do strategic sales.
Is just that a good strategic choice?
That's a good strategic choice. So 70% of business, large businesses don't do it. In the small business environment, it's even higher. So 1.2%, so less than 10% of small businesses achieve their, so 12% of small businesses on average have got some sort of strategy, which is maybe on the back of a cigarette box or, you know, or properly written, and only slightly less than 10% of them achieve that. So that's 1.2% of small businesses actually achieve a strategic, their strategic imperative. So that's the sort of the context, is that people don't do strategy, and when they do, they're doing something else.
What do you mean they're doing something else? But you know what? Alon paused because he saw Craig holding up the sign saying we need to go to an ad break. So strategically, I need to go to an ad break, and we'll do it when we get back.
The AltJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Welcome back. You're listening to the AltJet Business Show. I'm David Zeidel, and we're talking to Alon Reyes, the CEO of Reyes Corp. And Alon covered the 5 points of maybe what companies or what people should be doing to be successful. Then we went into the strategy part of it. And Alon was just unpacking how little people actually do strategy and do it right. So if we look at the strategy, how do you define strategy? Is it just a roadmap? Or how would you define it, and how would you do it in the right way?
If we start with a frame, let me give you the frame here, and I'm a visual thinker. So think of, I started even our conversation today with what you want, right? That's where I want to go. So your vision is most, you cannot have strategy without vision. So that's why you start off with what you want. Right? So vision is where I want to go. Strategy is how do I get there, is the path to get there. And so I use, often in my training, I use the example of, if I say to you that I want to get from Joburg to Durban by road, I want to send my goods from Durban to Joburg to Durban by road, what's the quickest route? You would respond by saying the N3, right? So you'd send your vehicle down on the N3, and at one of the toll gates, there'd be violence there, and they'd firebomb your vehicle. And then you would land up with a driver in hospital, an insurance issue, a cash flow issue, a screaming client, et cetera, et cetera. So because you chose the wrong path, i.e. the wrong strategy, you land up with operational issues, okay? i.e. all these things that I've just mentioned. If I had asked one more question, is there violence on the N3? And the answer was yes, then the quickest path between Johannesburg and Durban via road would not be the N3. It would be something else. So the ability to, once again, as we mentioned earlier, the ability to ask the right questions can unpack what is a better strategy that would result in less operational issues. So let's talk about operational issues, because I gave you the teaser before the ad break as that they're not getting it right. Most entrepreneurs, when they think they're doing strategy, are actually doing operations. And entrepreneurs, and I'm generalizing now, but most entrepreneurs that battle to get out of what I call the washing machine, that where you grow, you collapse, you grow, you collapse, you exhaust it, those ones are often highly operational. They're addicted to the operations. It's their place of confidence. It's their place of knowledge. They know how to do the thing. They've gone through the learning curve. They're confident in doing the operational side. Strategy is the creation of new. Operations is more of the same. Let me repeat that. Strategy is the creation of new. I'm simplifying it now, but I want to get a visual picture in your head. And operations is more of the same. So if I'm saying to you, if you say, oh, what do you want? I want 10 more whatever. And it's more of the same. I just have to do more of it. It's an operational issue. If I have to sell 10 more of those things, I would have to, you know, pack it, ship it, send it. It's all operational because it's more of the same. But if I have to create something new, a new branch, a new website, a new anything, then I have to have a decision as to do I put resources to this? How do I build this, etc.? It's the creation of new. Successful entrepreneurs have got a great balance between the creation of new, i.e. strategy, right? The decision-making around building the business that once again, that cliched work on the business, not in the business, which is the creation of new processes, new templates, new websites, new what I will explain just now is process assets and assets. And that's balanced with the operations, which is, you know, just delivering to clients, making sure people do what they're supposed to be doing, making sure you do what you're supposed to be doing. So when I work with entrepreneurs, I understand that I'm going to find them in a state of addiction, that they're addicted to operations. It's because they're so comfortable there. And I have to knock them off that pedestal to say that if you're going to build this business to become successful, you've got to think strategically, i.e., tell me what you want and what do we need to build, i.e. the creation of new, in order to get there. Right, what's the first thing we have to build? And I keep underlining the word build. So why I give a very simple binary response to this, which is I'm simplifying it, is because it gives entrepreneurs a very easy way to understand whether they are in an operational mindset or in a strategic mindset. It's a little more complex than that, but that's the starting point.
So I'm busy writing down some of the notes as Alon is talking, and I need to move over to another page because you've given so many different things in this. And you're talking in a way that I haven't heard before. So the concept of building or more of the same is makes it clearer. But there's still questions around it, which is it really new or is it just a variation of the old? So I can say, oh, well, I'm creating a new design, but it's just a variation of the old one. And to what level do you go down to that strategy? So is really creating a website, is that really strategic or is it the purpose behind creating it, the strategy?
The purpose behind creating the website has to be to achieve the vision. That's the purpose.
So it comes
vision.
Back to the vision.
Vision. You wouldn't, if it wasn't in the, that's basically the check, is to say, does this take me closer to my vision? If I build this website, does it take me closer? Does it take me nowhere? If it doesn't take me closer, it's the wrong thing to do. Right. So you always, that's why vision is so important. That's why I keep starting with what do you want? And there is a wonderful methodology called Letter from the Future, which if I'm happy to share that.
Yeah,
and
that'd be great.
It's easy to do. And, you know, your listeners can do this tonight. So Letter from the Future is a concept of putting yourself 5 years hence. So we're in 2025 now, we're in 2030. So in 2030, you're on a plane and you're writing about the last 5 years. You're writing to your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your dog, anyone. You can write to whoever you want.
My dog ate my homework, so that doesn't work.
You write to whoever you want, right? And you write the story of your business from now, from 2025 to 2030. What happened in that business from 2025 to 2030? And you tell the story. It's called backcasting. You tell the story from as if you are in 2030 about what's happened from 2025 to 2030. And you talk about what happened in the business as a whole, what happened in the marketing department, how that grew, the sales department, did the salespeople increase in numbers? What issues did you have? What obstacles did you have to overcome? You write the story in a very cogent way, which is very practical. And so it's a way of planning and anticipating what obstacles might appear and how you get around it. So you start writing that story out. It's the most addictive thing that you will do. You will write 2-3 pages, and then you will write 4-5 pages, and then you write 8 pages. I've been doing this since 2014. My Letter from the Future is now 56 pages long. It's 56 pages long. I do not start again every year. I just reshape it and move it. And if I've been unsuccessful in something, I write that into the story. So my 2014, I've got a history of Race Corp from 2014 to now to 2030, which is 5 years hence. All my issues that I've had to overcome, my successes, and then what's going to happen into the future. And that becomes a powerful tool to share with my management team, with my staff, that they know where we come from, they know where we're going, and they can understand how we're going to get there. And what's very important is their role in that and their upside in that future.
Wow. So I think that, and you called it a letter from the future, or even that term, I like it, backcasting, it's a way of entrenching your vision.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. And I want to go into that a little bit more, but again, after the ad break.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Welcome back. You're listening to the AutJet Business Show. I'm David Zeidel, and together we're listening to Alon Reyes, the CEO of Reyes Corp. And Alon was just sharing with us really the difference between strategy and operations. And strategy is creating something new, where operations is just doing more of the same. And in any business, you need the balance between those two things. And Alon was saying that people who are in operations, kind of that's how they built the business. And they know how to do that. And you kind of want to do more of what you're successful as, and they become less strategic. And then you discussed a tool that kind of helps you to think strategically. And that was that concept of a letter from the letter from the future, mm-hmm, back to today. And you said actually make it 5 years time. So you're in 2030 and you're telling the story of what you've achieved. And you termed it backcasting. And it's a way of almost forcing you to think into the future.
Mm-hmm.
And you shared that you've done that with your business and it's helped, and you kind of, it's like a rolling forecast. So you roll it forward every year. So you're always 5 years ahead.
Correct. And then it becomes a very important tool to align your staff, because most entrepreneurs have got their vision. If they've got one, they've got it in their head, or they speak in platitudes about and I have to use this opportunity whilst I'm on air to say that the most terrible thing that we are taught in business is the thing called a vision statement. It's the most disastrous concept in business, because most vision statements, there's research behind this, but if anyone listening now has got a vision statement, there is a 92% chance that if I ask you right now what your vision statement is, you won't know what it is. You got it on the website. So what I do when I speak, and I'll look to the person down in front of me and say, what's your vision statement? And they'll, and then by the time I've got to the third person, they're on their phone Googling their website to try and find out what their vision statement is. And when they do read it, it's an ego statement. We want to be the most well-recognized, blah, 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 the largest, blah, blah, blah. And why I don't like it is because it makes you lazy in terms of the fact that you've now ticked off the vision, because you've got one stupid sentence that's an ego statement that means nothing. If somebody joins your business and says, you say, I want to be the largest, blah, 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 blah. Well, what does that mean? Like, how are we going to get there? Tell me what's this, like, I don't know what that is.
Mm.
Right. So I'm not talking about a mission statement. I'm talking specifically around a vision statement. So to me, no more vision statements. Write a comprehensive vision. An LFF, letter from the future, is a very powerful tool to do that.
And then do you share that with everyone around you?
So when we were smaller, I shared it with the whole organization. And as that letter got longer and longer, and then I started to see a few of the yawns, then I started just sharing it with my exco. But here's a very important thing. Every one of my exco, what in our terminology, our Opal team, which is somewhere between an exco and a manco, every single one of them write their own letter from the future around their departments. So they too write about what they want their department to be. My head of marketing is writing about how she sees her marketing department in 5 years, what obstacles she's going to have to overcome. And so this is about co-creation of vision. And so there's huge alignment, and to make sure that there is no, there's a whole process, which we don't have time for, but there's a whole process to ensure that we dovetail. And if her vision around the marketing department is far more cogent, far more practical than mine, I will submit to her vision of the marketing department. And in that vision is all these things that need to be created in order to take me to. So in year 2026, we built this, and then 2027, we did this, and we built that. And so your letter from the future is peppered with all the things that she wants to achieve in the marketing department and what I want to achieve. And so we know what to build. So now we've got a plan.
So as you're talking, I've got an image in my mind of there's a rowing boat, and it's actually a round rowing boat, and everybody's rowing crazy, but they're all rowing kind of opposite. So you're just going round in circles.
Yeah.
And what you're saying, now you're aligning the oars together so that you're both aiming for your department, but you're making sure that you're both in the same story. You're not telling your own stories that are paddling in opposite directions.
100%. Nice visual.
Yeah. And I just think it's amazing that, you know, we suffer in South Africa with some political parties, and you have the EFF maybe, who not really that great with business, and you changing the EFF and making an L of a difference by calling it the LFF, the letter from the future. So I like that. We've only got a few minutes left, and I don't know where the time goes, but if you had to give a message to your grandkids or anybody starting a business or thinking of doing a business, are there any, other than the absolute great value that you've shared, is there anything else that you want to share with us?
If you are starting a business and you are married, make sure that you marry the right person. Because if you aren't backed by your husband or your wife, it's a much more difficult journey. And I had the blessing of being backed by my wife the whole way through.
And do you have to have the same propensity to take on risk?
Yes. Sometimes you have to tell a rosier story than is really going on. But yes, you have to have the same propensity for risk. And you have to just be open to the fact that, you know, it's going to be a long journey. Entrepreneurship is a tough, long journey.
Fantastic. Alon, we're getting the sign that we need to wrap up. I'm getting that wrap-up signal from Craig. But you've shared with us today kind of the steps that you need to do of what you want to be successful. You need to know what you want, and we think we do, but maybe we don't. You need to put in the hard work. You need a network that will support you. And then you need that perseverance, and maybe you can learn that perseverance by asking the right questions or even getting a mentor to ask the right questions. You said humility is very important as well, not to get overconfident. And then you gave us the stats around how businesses do very little strategy and how it's needed. And you came back to strategy is creating and building, not just doing more of the same. And that strategy comes from having a vision. And the best way to do that vision is to do backcasting or getting a letter from the future. So, I mean, I found this incredibly valuable. I hope it's been valuable to people listening. So, Alon, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
I'm David Zeidel. This has been Alon Reyes, and this has been the Orchard Business Show.